Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, folks. We have a great episode with Gianmarco Soresi coming up. He's got a special out right now called Thief of Joy on YouTube. Check it out. And also, check us out live on the road. Me and Elders are hitting the road in November. Memphis, Huntsville. We have some sold-out stuff already in Tennessee. I'm sorry, you should have acted faster. We have Greensboro, North Carolina. We have Myrtle Beach. We have, and then, of course, Austin, Texas, and Boston at the Wilbur. We've already sold out a couple of shows in Boston. Fourth show is on sale now. Second show in Austin. And that's going fast. We might have to add a third. Get your tickets now. We actually probably won't add a third. So get your tickets now if you want to see us. I don't actually... Anyway, it doesn't matter. Just buy the tickets. Let's sell it out. Maybe we add a third. Maybe we don't. I'm trying to be in New York, for Christ's sake. I got this nice apartment. I want to actually enjoy New York in the fall. Buy your tickets and enjoy this episode with Gianmarco. Opa! Welcome, everybody, to Stavi's World. 904-800-STAV. Call in. We'll solve your problems. We have on the couch Gianmarco Soresi.
Hello.
How we doing, buddy?
I'm good. I went to Santorini this summer.
Oh, nice.
So seeing these blues, it's a nice
takes
reminder.
You back.
Yeah.
How was your trip?
Oh, it was astounding.
Yeah.
Because there must be, legally, you can only paint your house certain
colors. Yeah.
And I'm sure, as an American, like, I'd be like, I want to paint mine pink.
But then you see it
and you go like, okay.
Oh, it's nice to have some community standards.
Yeah.
As long as it's not some bullshit. Like, here it's like, in, you know, Ohio, they're like, oh, sorry, the trim has to be red and the outside has to be tan.
Yes.
It's like just like, you know, homeowners associations.
Yeah.
It's like sexless people with just a little power. Everyone wants power. In Santorini, it's like, look, we got to make this shit look good. So
I think it's part of the greater whole. It's like every house has to look exactly like this. Yeah. Santorini is like, we're trying to create a picture here.
And it looks good.
Be a part picture of that looks picture. Good. Beautiful.
I'm guessing with your girlfriend or what was it?
Yes, I did shows in Athens and then Santorini was the vacation.
Nice.
And it was, I mean, it was
the food. Had you ever been to Greece?
No, I'd never been to Greece.
It's the best, dude.
It's the best.
I'm so spoiled of, we're all European boys. We all went on European trips. I was working. Eldest, my tour manager and producer.
Nice.
Happened to go on a 3-week vacation the exact time I was working. I had no tour manager. I had no nothing. He was on the continent enjoying himself while I was
working
funding
too.
The operation.
You're on stage, you see through a window, he's on the beach. Just
playing back. To his credit, he sent 3 emails while I was fucking figuring out all my own travel. Finding openers.
A lot of work to make sure those shows run smoothly, even especially when you're not there. It's more nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you were biting your nails. I hope the shows are going well.
I was torn up inside.
You weren't fucking overdosing on Iberico jambon, you motherfucker. Anyway, we're all freshly from Europe, but I'm so spoiled where it's like, because my family, I grew up going to Greece. We took like four or five big trips when I was a kid, and I can't, even though I love traveling, I love seeing other cultures, there is no better place to vacation than Greece. Mm-hmm. That is my full, like, I'll never get off that. I went for two and a half days between shows, and I was like, I'm just going to Greece.
The food was astounding. We went to Rome after, and you go, it's good. It's a lot of just bread, everything's bread.
Yeah,
and then in Greece, it was like the fish. And,
yeah, dude. The salad. I eat vegetables.
And
you know how hard it is to get me to eat a vegetable?
Sure.
I'll eat boiled greens in Greece, dude. They're good. Horta.
I also, like, I had just gone, I was like in Amsterdam and Berlin and multiple times. I was just talking on my phone regular.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to my girlfriend. I was like, Amsterdam is amazing. And someone was like, shh. yeah. you're talking too loud. yeah. And Greece was the first time I was like, ah, oh, my people, we're hugging and we're kissing.
Of course.
Like, I'm a little Italian, and I don't know what's real and what's fake.
The name, certainly. This happens with names. Like, people are so dumb, they like, if you're labeled a thing, like, Robert De Niro's like, 1/8 Italian?
Really?
Like, he's mostly German or something. He's like, sure. It's like Chris DiStefano, same thing. Like, he's fucking German. But, yeah, you have an aggressively Italian name. And that's, I'm guessing, from your father?
Yes. Yeah. But I think my mom had an Italian babysitter, so she's Jewish.
Interesting.
Her last name was Rothkrug. So, fine. Let's pass that up.
Wow. Hit both sides of the Jewish naming conventions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was, we were in, my girlfriend and I, and she was raised Jewish, Jewish, Chabad. We passed this wall in Rome of, you know, when Mussolini and Hitler started collabing or whatever, mm-hmm. they had like a wall of all the Jews that were taken, to
a memorial wall.
Next to the, yeah. And we always talked about if we had a kid. I feel like even if my kid's less Italian than me, I loved having an Italian name.
She
was, and so I was like, I want my kid to have an Italian name. And she always said, like, I'm okay with that, but I'd want it to be like an authentically Jewish Italian name.
Interesting.
And we never knew, you know, there's not that many Italian Jews. What are the authentic names?
Oh, hell yeah.
And then we looked at the wall and I was like, this is a baby names book.
Just a bunch of tragically slain guys.
Honored. Yeah. These are real Italian Jews.
Yeah. And what are the names? Do we have some good ones?
A girl, Julia, with GI.
Love
and
that.
And then a boy, because they, Dachau.
Dachau.
It's a joke because it was there.
That's but the place, no. yeah. Oh, interesting.
No, I like, I mean, if Luigi, my great-grandpa was Luigi.
Yeah.
His real name was Luigi. But
great
now
name.
It's... Now it's stuck.
A statement, you think?
Oh, my God. If I name my kid Luigi?
That would be awesome.
It would be cool.
You could name him maybe Mario.
Yeah.
That's like a soft tribute.
I didn't love Luigi before because of the Mario connotation. And now I'm sure Nintendo had meetings of like, what do we do with this?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. There's a Mario Party game where Luigi snipes Bowser. Luigi fucking, and just a bunch of coins go to Koopas with fucking cancer. A bunch of Koopas with fucking arm slings get to go to hospitals.
If he goes to the haunted house and all the ghosts are insurance CEOs.
Yeah. Yeah, Luigi's mansion gets a little re-spin. He's ghost busting fucking CEOs. I like that.
I know they certainly had to have a meeting of like, what do we do? People mm-hmm. are going to associate this.
The brand is strong enough, though, I think, at this
yeah.
point.
And I don't...
withstand... Now, another guy doesn't? Two Luigi's kill two CEOs? Luigi's. now there's
problems.
Now
in the canon, Luigi's got to die somehow.
Yeah. He needs another brother.
But when I was in Europe, you know, you mentioned Luigi and got a big applause. I don't know what it's like in Asia, though. We'll see. Mm. I'm going to be in Japan.
We'll see
how Luigi plays there.
Are you actually going to Japan to do shows?
Yeah, I'm going
to
do an Asia run next year.
Wow.
India, too.
India?
Singapore, where I got to submit a transcript.
Oh, I don't want to do that. I'm not doing that bullshit.
I'm just more curious.
I get that.
Well, I did... I did
very low-level, like, bar shows, essentially.
Yeah.
And it was just weird. It just felt weird.
And I'll do that. I'll do a gig for the weirdness.
Yeah.
But I went to Istanbul, and this is like one, like, my mom... And my former stepdad both called separately the divorce. And was like, "Are you're going to Istanbul?" And I was like, "Oh, let me Google." But I don't, you know, I'm an idiot. Both parents. And it was beautiful. It was amazing. And I asked the guy though. I said like, he said you can say whatever you want. And then he said, just so you know, for the second show, there's going to be a Muslim call to prayer, and it's going to last
in
a
the
while.
Middle of the
in
show.
In the middle, they do 5 a day.
Wow.
So in the middle of the show.
What time is this? Like 7, 8?
This probably like 9 wow. or 10, 9:30, I would think. The first
so they
one's
do
at 5.
5 a day, 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And they space it out evenly? How does it work?
I would imagine evenly, but I don't
know.
So
every 5 hours or so? Or four and something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And I said to the guy, I said it like, oh, so can I make jokes like during the Muslim prayer? And he's like, say whatever you want.
Yeah.
And I'm like looking at him like, I can say whatever I want.
Because
it's 10 minutes long. The guy's singing reading names. I mean,
that's insane that you'd have to do the show.
It was so much fun. Yeah. I mean, it was so much fun. Everything
like,
was
say
good.
Whatever you want, just no Dimitri Martin style drawings.
Yes, like, yes,
no,
yes.
No PowerPoints.
I thought Dimitri Martin would like draw more. Dimitri, no.
No, Dimitri, no.
Do the lollipop bit. Yeah. Not the Muhammad bit right now.
A Greek guy getting killed in Turkey for drawing Muhammad, he would become our hero. I would be on there being like, you have no idea what you've done, Turkey. We're coming for you.
But then I wrote the manager because I was going to post the video, and he said, don't post that video.
Oh.
So you can say whatever you want.
You can say whatever
you
want.
But you post
want.
A video.
Kind of a don't ask, don't tell. That's the way you can be gay in Turkey. You can make fun of the call to prayer.
Yes, yes.
Do it on your own time. Just don't let us
don't
see it.
Don't film yourself.
Yeah, don't film yourself.
But you're meeting, it's funny because you meet these comics, and I hope this isn't cruel, but mm-hmm. they're a year, they've gone to jail for a joke, and they're a year in comedy.
Open micers who are heroes.
That's the thing.
And they're bad.
That, and you hear the joke and you go, I got a couple notes too.
Yeah. If I could imprison some open micers, I would do it too for other reasons. Yeah.
But
oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's crazy to be like, to be punished for like
to
a...
To be Lenny Bruce.
Wow.
6 months in.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, it's kind of beautiful because you go like, I go like, when people go, wow, you're so brave to say that joke in Texas. I go, no, they're brave.
Yeah.
They're not even good at this
and
yet.
And they're bad.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, going to Europe, you do see the different stages that stand-up comedy is at. Like, it's kind of like you said you did Athens. I feel like they just learned what stand-up comedy was in Greece 3 years ago.
Because
I couldn't explain it to my family. Like, my family had no concept of it for, like, you know.
Really, you couldn't point to the Parthenon and go, it's like that.
I would tell them I was an actor.
Sure.
It was like a one-man play. They could get that, but or a monologist or whatever.
I watched in South Korea, because like they came back from COVID pretty quick with live stand-up, mm-hmm. and so, you know, I was like, maybe.
Hilarious.
And they had their first...
South Korea to do stand-up?
Their first Netflix comedy special they put up, and it was some guy who was on, they have something that's like South Korea SNL, and he did his first special. And I watched it with subtitles, and you're like, oh, this is the beginning. Stand-up has been going on in America since so long ago.
Yeah.
This is the beginning. And so, like, one of the punchlines, I swear, was like, women are different. Women are different. I was like, okay, that's the first step.
Yep.
And then from there, you could do more nuanced misogyny.
Of course.
This misogyny is not as nuanced as ours.
No,
but
dude.
It takes time.
It takes time. And, yeah, you watch a... Like, you'll hear, like, Ellen DeGeneres had a legendary Tonight Show. And you watch it, and you're like, what?
The phone call to God, that's a good one, though.
I mean, she's got some bangers. I just mean, like...
No, I know what you mean.
Like, you listen, you watch even people you think are great, and you watch a Tonight Show from the 70s, and you're like, there were three great jokes in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of just setting it up, and there's just, like... It's like watching tape from the NBA in the 60s. It's the same thing.
I read that book. It's I'm Dying Up Here, and they talked about Jay Leno. They're like, when Jay walked in a room.
Yeah, foul balls. I remember that joke.
Oh, shit. And then you go to the Tonight Show, and it's like, the baseball's goofy.
Yeah, he was like, there's some joke about like an umpire was like having a cream for Jokic, and the punchline was like, foul balls. And that was like... One of his, like, people fucking knew that joke, dude. Say foul balls, fucking idiot, not umpire.
Foul balls.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, that must have felt risque, and I'm sure...
Yeah, but
barely got past the censors.
Yeah. Anyway, I know this because I read his autobiography as a child. That's the kind of stand-up kid I was. Yeah, I loved stand-up as a kid. Like, I was fascinated by
it. Was it a good autobiography?
Not really, no. I mean, but it was good for being... 11.
What did he talk about, though? Like, did he talk about the tough times and the
gigs? Yeah, oh, you know, working mob clubs, but also his childhood and, like... Yeah, it is fascinating. I mean, these guys would open for, like, singers. Like, they would, like, famous singers for a while in the 70s. It was like, oh, get a stand-up guy to, like, just kind of warm the crowd up.
Or the Playboy Club circuit?
That
Can
kind
you
of
imagine?
Stuff?
You would have rocked.
I would have loved
the
that.
Playboy Club
I
circuit.
I would have loved to do that.
And then there's...
Yeah.
I did...
It's but like, they also sound like horrific gigs.
Oh, horrific, but like, great stories. Yeah. That's why I go to some of these countries where I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to Singapore to like do this. I want a story.
Yeah.
And the more fans you get, it was a great show.
Yeah.
I walked on and everyone cheered and applauded. I did absolutely nothing.
Well, it's cool to like have a shitty show again.
Yeah.
Like, especially like, you know, we're in a very coddled generation where like, when you get an online fan base, people are like, it's an easy room kind of prematurely. Like, you used to have to be a stand-up. You used to be like a working for like a decade at the highest levels to get the kind of buy-in that we get that we don't deserve.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'm like, I like doing shows unannounced because it's like, I'm not actually famous. I'm famous to my fans.
Sure.
But if I go to the Cellar and they're like, we have a special guest, they're like, oh, Chappelle's here, Ray Romano, you know what I mean? And they're like, and I come on and people are like, literally like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
I miss that feeling of like, oh yeah, there's just some fat idiot that you would get when you were doing open mics or like bar shows. Like, to me, that is the beauty of stand-up. And I could see getting that in, like, you know, Italy, where they don't really know what stand-up is. You're at least getting even though they might love you, there's a fucking language barrier.
Yeah, you just learn something new. Like, if it's Italy, I'm like, I'd learn how to be physical in a better way. Like, from an artistic way, I'm like, this makes you stronger.
Sure, sure.
I think about political the reason I ever get so preachy is I go to San Antonio, and I swear, if only my audience was voting, Jill Stein would have had a shot. And my brave Charlie Kirk joke. It's like, totally. Everyone in this crowd, we're on the same page.
No, I know. I do love going to the mothership, because before I did my special, I was doing anti-Elon jokes, and people were like, there'd be guys being like, because I'm making fun of Elon, where it's like, I go to my shows, and people are like, he's a piece of shit. But it's like, it's fun, and I do like that the mothership gives us a conservative, like, they give you, like, a chance, they give you the mirror opposite of Brooklyn, and that is good. That is good to go there and be like,
I agree.
To say shit that, like, because my favorite special of all time is probably Elephant in the Room, and Patrice O'Neill says things that are legitimately insanely misogynistic, and and I'm laughing because I'm not because I agree because it's fucking funny, and it's like, that's the whole point.
And they always say,
win people over.
They go. He walked the room a lot of times. That's the different era. If I walked the room
twice
at the Cellar,
it'd
be like, hey, we're gonna take a break from spots here for a little. You're walking the room.
We're looking. Yeah,
and it's like, the environment so dictates the kind of comedy that can come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrice is like, it was a different time. You hear those old stories and you go like, oh, I would have never worked again if I missed that one spot.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely think it did hurt his career. Him behaving that way, you know?
But it made great art.
But it's like, it's nice to get people that literally don't agree with you to laugh. That's the job. In fact, that's maybe the platonic ideal of the job, but I don't know about fucking, to me, I like that you're willing to go, because to me, going and doing stand-up in Asia seems like a waste of time. Like,
I'm
like, what the fuck
I'll get there soon enough. This is the last round. I think I don't get that kind of challenge with audiences anymore, and I do miss it. There was like one corporate show I did a long time ago, and like on the way I was doing research, and I was like, oh, this is, I don't know what kind of union this is. I got the playbill and opened with a national anthem.
Love it.
Auctioning off rifles of all stripes. Yeah. And I was the feature.
Yeah.
And it was clean. Yeah. Everyone was old. Everyone was dressed like cowboys.
Yeah.
And then they said, I swear to God, it said, the stand-up tonight is brought to us by our sponsors, ExxonMobil.
Fuck yes, dude.
And so like, my mom happened to be with me when she drove me to this gig in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And I'm like,
do you grow up there? Where'd you grow up?
No, she's Maryland.
Yeah, because I saw the area code.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, ah, here we go.
She moved to LA after the second divorce.
I love it.
Yeah. And so I'm with her and I'm like, you know, she's the only person I talk to. I'm like, I want to do a joke. And she's like, don't do a joke. And I'm like, I'm going to do it now.
I needed my mom
to tell me don't do it.
Yeah, yeah,
and it was like, there was a big banner that said ExxonMobil. And I had some joke about the Titanic, the new Titanic, and I said the iceberg's got a lot smaller thanks to my sponsor, ExxonMobil. And it was, but it was like this moment where the audience, it was like, laughter, and then booing. And I was like, I felt like a badass.
Totally, totally.
And
totally.
I can't, now in any room I do, it'd be like, fuck ExxonMobil.
Yeah. But I will say those guys, sometimes when you do jokes to people like that, they're like, yeah, we are destroying the world. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I do kind of appreciate them for being like,
yeah.
It's cool. Thank you. We like that we make you mad.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? That is, and as an audience, societally, big problem. As an audience, Pretty good.
Great show.
Pretty good.
Thanks for coming.
Eldis, we're living in crazy times. Life's been crazy. The world's crazy. I'm exercising this fat body, trying to get in better shape. I have aches and pains that are physical as well as mental. And what helps me get that discomfort out the natural way? That's right. CBD gummies from Cornbread Hemp. Have you tried everything under the sun for peace of mind? It sounds like it's time for you to try Cornbread Hemp CBD gummies. They only use the best part of the hemp plant, the good shit, the flower, for the purest and most potent CBD. All products are third-party lab-tested and USDA organic to ensure safety and purity. Pure as the virgin snow, this CBD. You'll love it. Right now, Stavi's World listeners can save 30% on their first order. Just head to cornbreadhemp.com/Stavi and use code Stavi at checkout. That's cornbreadhemp.com/Stavi and use code Stavi. We love Cornbread Hemp. You're going to love it too. Get a little Cornbread Hemp CBD gummy up in you and relax, baby.
The second divorce, I mean, your family sounds insane. Just cobbling things from bits and pieces.
Yeah,
Just like how many divorces, how many sets of step-parents, but also just girlfriend, a never-ending swinging door of girlfriends on your dad's behalf, which is fat. So how much, like, where was your parents are... Were they the first marriage of each one?
Okay. I think my dad was like, I believe 33, mom 25.
Okay, nice.
And my dad was like just stunning.
Yeah, oh really?
Just a extremely...
A real piece of ass.
A real... And just like a ladies... I mean,
yes,
his dad
charming.
Cheated. He was a cheater, mm-hmm. but just really good looking in a way that... was always over, you know, just he'd flirt with women and they'd flirt back. And,
constantly.
He'd say to the waiter, send my card over there. And then she'd come to the table.
That's fucking, I mean, that's a different universe.
It is. It's
all right, Peter. So I just saw, you probably saw it too, that anecdote that was floating around about Robert Redford.
My God.
Where he wanted to play the, it was.
Mike Nichols in The Graduate.
It was He wanted to play the lead. He wanted to play Dustin Hoffman's part and he was like, I just don't think you can play a loser. He was like, when's the last time you even struck out with a woman? And he was like, what do you mean?
He said, he's like, you know when you strike out with a woman? And he's like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean, the concept of striking out?
And he wasn't lying. Like, he wasn't joking. He never tried to fuck anyone, and it didn't work. And you're like, wow, that, I can't even imagine.
And thank God they do that, because right now, like on Broadway shows, they'll do The Music Man with like Hugh Jackman. And The Music Man, he's supposed to convince the town to come along and seduce Marianne.
Right, and then they
cast fucking Hugh Jackman in it.
Yeah, and I'm like,
oh, he could have walked in and be like, you want to fuck? And she'd be like,
right.
Hugh Jackman.
Right, there was no...
Right behind the books, please.
Yeah.
And so it's nice that there was a time where like, it's like, yeah, not everyone has to be. In fact, them being hot negates the story.
You lost a part for being too hot. Whereas now it's like you know, every like the classic Johnny Depp plays a bald guy. They put Johnny Depp in a bald cap, or they put, you know, someone in a fat suit. And it's like,
yeah,
come on, man. What do we got here?
The fat suits are
the
pretty,
fat suits are
and,
getting
the, and
crazy.
Then they make the video. It took 8 hours to put this on. And you listen to him. It was really tough being fat for
I
4 hours
Colin
a day.
And Colin Farrell, I love. Incredible actor.
Of course.
Miami Vice. The remake holds a special place in my heart.
By the way, they used to be able to play a disabled person.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah,
how
yeah.
they got the rocks off. Now
right.
you can't do that anymore. One
They're
of the
mad.
Last costumes, one of the last transformations they can get
yeah,
away with.
You're so right.
Is very bad.
Yeah, Down syndrome's off the table.
Yeah.
Have radio, all that's gone. So uh-huh. like, all right.
Daniel Day-Lewis's next piece is going to be like the actor who played What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
And that'll be
his next movie.
He is back with his son. That's a good dad. That's a good dad right there.
I love Dan Day-Lewis. I wanted to be him for a long...
Interesting.
I did. You fucked yeah. up. I was in an acting company.
Mm-hmm.
And you picked a real-life person to be. And this was an intense... This was all we were doing. And the goal was like you'd inhabit that character in real life. You know, not for your whole life, for 6 months. But
as an acting exercise?
As an acting exercise.
And you picked Daniel Day-Lewis?
No.
Okay.
I picked a role that he played.
Oh, wow.
I picked a real life person that he portrayed in 1988 in a movie called My Left Foot.
Oh, isn't that what he's like?
He has cerebral palsy. Yeah. He's the Irish poet who had like could only really operate his left foot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this was like this was before comedy. This was deathly serious. No one at any point was like, you shouldn't do that. It really like everyone.
In fact, they're like,
when I did the exercise, the teacher who's tough gave me a standing ovation and said, if you keep working like this, there's nothing you can't do. And
oh man,
I got a wheelchair off of Craigslist. Mm-hmm. I like studied.
Wow.
And you had to take it in public. So it wasn't just class. So there's one time that my girlfriend at the time, who by the way,
you're in a fucking wheelchair. You're making your girlfriend push you around on a wheelchair.
Yes, and by the way, she's doing Audrey Hepburn as her
oh
person.
Oh my God.
And so she's not necessarily saying, hi, I'm Audrey Hepburn, but she is in a character
of her
own.
Oh, I can't believe this.
And we went out to.
I've got an invalid. Quick, pick my pearls up with your foot. Oh, that's crazy.
I would do the impression too, but I'm too scared. But then, so we went to pay. So it was like me and her, and then two other actors were all like, they're not, the other two are just doing like normal people.
Some
like
guy.
A famous ballet dancer, but he's dressed like a normal person.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Mine requires a lot more props.
Of course.
And then when they go to pay, we're using my credit card. There was like a brief time where our faces were on credit cards. Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And so in this picture,
you're just smiling just like, normal, and you're like,
And I was like, I was like, they're gonna bust me. I don't even know what they do.
Well, yeah,
I think luckily the thing is, I don't know if I was doing an amazing job because I was so scared,
right?
Or no one had the courage to say, "Excuse me, sir, are you pretending to have cerebral palsy?"
Well, that's
right
the
now?
Thing. It's like, what do you gain from this other than an insane? You're not trying to get the fucking discount.
No. Of course. But acting is so stupid to justify it at any given moment.
Of course,
I'm doing this so when I do it on stage, it's believable.
Yeah,
and no one's cast me as the role either.
Yes.
I picked it myself. Yep.
This was the one I wanted to do.
I'm still doing Meisner exercises. No script even.
Yeah.
Just a physical adjustment. We call.
Oh my God, dude, that is fucking insane. That's not considered a complete waste of time. Like so much of that, like to me,
I think we undermine good acting in general, and sure. I think we're suffering it's acting is weird.
Yes.
Some people just have a lot of talent, but it can take a lot of training. I still believe I was not
that,
a good actor.
Though,
I was
that,
not
walking around in a wheelchair,
okay,
making
so
your
David
girlfriend push you around in a fucking wheelchair.
But did you see my left foot?
No, yeah.
He did it for 6 months. And they say that when there was a wire, he could have stood up, but he said, you know, he said no. And people were like rolling their eyes.
Yeah.
And I go, show me a performance like that. Show me someone
who can earn that.
Yeah. You can earn
that. He's earned it.
Sure. But you got it. What do you start
like,
with one wheel?
LeBron gets to fuck. LeBron spends $1 million on his body because he's LeBron.
Sure.
If I'm playing pickup, I don't get to be in a hyperbaric chamber and get a masseuse. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get to do that. I don't get a nurse around the clock. I have to fucking work up to that kind of shit. You were some fucking guy in a fucking class. You don't need to get pushed around in a wheelchair. You could have limped. How about we start with a limp, Gianmarco, before we fucking break?
I know.
Before we get out.
Just some cane work.
How about a cane?
Basic cane work. Like,
I know what you mean.
It's like Dr. House. No, I know. Yeah. I know. You're right.
I don't even think at the extreme levels, I can see that because, you know, I like movies, so I want to act a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're a performer, you can be 80% good at acting. And like being in some stuff, and I've been lucky, I just got to work with like insanely actual good actors.
Yes,
right?
You did, yeah.
And I'm like, oh. Because I definitely had that thing of like, acting's bullshit, who fucking cares?
Sure.
Just say it. And then you see people who are like that good at it, and you're like, I cannot ruin a scene, right?
Sure.
Like I can naturally just, if everyone else is crushing it, I won't stick out like a sore thumb. But like, it's the kind of thing where with everything where you're like, to get to that next level, and at every percentage, it gets a little harder, right? To get from 80 to 85 is harder to get. And then once you're in like 95, to get those half percentage points to be Daniel Day-Lewis, I believe that it's like 6 months or whatever, but there is a lot, and you know it.
Yeah.
How many fucking drama kids
of course
pretend it's like they are operating at that level where it's like, come on, guys.
But I just think there's a general like, It's like it's the way Seinfeld would always talk about acting. It was like, acting? What is acting? And I mean, I was like, Seinfeld, you're the worst actor I've ever seen in my entire life.
He's fucking crazy like, how bad he is. Like, how bad? He's smiling. He smiles in like half the scenes he's in. And everyone else is so good.
Yeah.
That's the funniest part of that. The, on the like, whatever, eighth rewatch of Seinfeld that I've done, it's now all I watch is Jerry.
But he's also, like, same with Roseanne, he's surrounded by fucking geniuses.
Yeah, killers.
Surrounded. And I think that's like, that was the old model that worked.
Totally.
Roseanne couldn't act for shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Laurie Metcalf and
John Goodman.
John Goodman are two of like the great actors of our time.
Yes, 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 absolutely. How old were you at when you started being a little theater kid?
From the beginning. I remember like my parents were divorced, but I would dance in the living room. And so I would like separately with the mom and with my dad. Why are you laughing? Because I said it again?
No. Dancing in the living room's hilarious.
Yeah. But this is how early the impulse was, where my dad would play disco. They both were like in the disco era.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd put on It's Raining Men.
Love that.
And I would just be dancing. And I said to them, we need to get our living room onto a stage.
Awesome.
So this can be witnessed.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is a deep...
Yes, from the jump.
To be witnessed, that it's not enough to have joy on your own. Like, you have to witness me having the joy for it to fully activate. Yeah.
Now, were your parents, like, your dad, do they, or either of them, like, actory
no,
people?
Mom not at all. My dad, no, business guy.
Business guy. Sales?
He owned his own company, like now he has 30 different companies, that right, kind of guy. Right, like one, he used to do oil spill cleanups, which used to be a big money making thing. And he was rich. He retired in his 40s. We had a Ferrari.
Focused on getting pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Where in Maryland did you grow up?
Potomac.
Oh, okay.
Which is a rich area, terrible,
Real
awful,
Housewives
boring.
Of whatever is over there.
No one in Potomac would allow their wives to be on that show. So people joke that it's Real Housewives of Baltimore.
Yeah,
is what you're watching.
Yeah. I never saw that one. I never saw that season.
But boring. People with money.
No, it's insane. It's like the richest. Because like I had friends who grew up in that like. Of the rich DC Maryland suburbs, that's the richest one.
Yeah.
But and so your dad was off that. And that was off like his oil spill cleanup.
Oil spill cleanup, and then he put it all into stocks. And like the dot-com bubble bursting definitely hit him hard.
Mm.
And he got back into like just he basically had machinery around. So scrap metal recycling is like the main thrust of it.
Yeah.
But then he's always trying to get into new companies, a cannabis thing for a second. And then now with ChatGPT, it's allowed him to...
Crypto guy too or no?
No, thank God. Thank God the things he's not. He's not political.
Interesting.
Thank God. But I was eating dinner with him. A very attractive woman walked in and he said, "You think she'd be a good model for bad bitch purses?"
Bad bitch purses.
And I go, okay, let's start at the beginning.
Oh man.
And you know, it's like it was an Etsy store and it's the same purse that if I made merch purses, you'd buy it off a tag.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm, you know, pleading with him, please don't go up to this woman.
He gets it off Alibaba or whatever the fuck. He gets like 1,000 of them. Yeah, prints it. Yep.
And he could be rich now. And now he's not because he got 1,000 purses off Alibaba.
Yeah.
And then he still thinks with that mind of when he's still for 71, he's a good looking guy.
But he's 71.
But I'm like, you cannot approach that woman. Back in the day, she'd say, a model?
Yeah.
Please,
yeah.
let's go over to your place and talk it over.
And he
still has that. And I go, please don't talk to her.
It's weird to, I mean, he's got like what a hot blonde woman goes through in her 40s.
Yes.
Your dad is going through it in his 70s.
You're right.
Yeah, it's over.
Guys get to go a little longer.
It's way longer.
And unfortunately, it times right with the maybe dementia. And it's just a killer cocktail of social discomfort.
Is he single now?
He's dating someone. He's dating someone.
One of the, like those guys, if they were smart, they would see the end coming and lock down like a 45-year-old.
Sure.
And be like, all right, had a good run. I'm going to still go out on top, but you go. Sometimes you hang on too long.
I think some guys are a cheater at heart, even if it's not like, I bet even if it's not like sleeping with other women, it's online
attention,
flirting and whatever. And some guys just, they got that dog in them. And when you see it with your father, you go like, I don't think it's ever going away.
Yeah.
It's like, it's part of you. I wish you lived in a different time where where people were did have the husband did cheat and it was known, but it was part of the overall agreement, and he made the money, and that's we all agree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And instead, it's just
yeah. Your parents 20 years earlier.
Yeah.
Textbook, great stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? If they're
non-ethical, non-monogamy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Non-ethical, non-monogamy. Yeah. What this fucking society was built on, you whores. Understand. You want it all? God, dude. Now look at us. Yeah. Everyone's cheating out in the open, and it's all gone, and the society's gone to
any
shit.
Any cheating, I imagine with social media, it's just impossible to even re-enter that. There's just too much. Because I think part of the whole thing is like, you keep things quiet.
Yeah.
You do what you do, but you keep things quiet, and that's impossible.
You could take 5 exits on a highway, and no one knows who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the
beauty.
How
they had a you said they had a family in Florida. It's yeah. like, yeah, once they got on that plane.
Yeah.
They,
plane, dude, forget it.
Yeah.
Now it's like everyone's connected. Yeah. It ruined cheating. Globalization ruined cheating. Interesting. So were you a cheater ever? Did you have any of that?
No, not like that at all.
Sure.
You know, went to a summer camp and had a girlfriend and called her and said, hey, can we be open for, you know, musical theater summer camp? You know, but always like, I think I'm very much like, if I am lying to someone, I feel so not close to them that it negates the why a relationship would be there to begin with.
You would just get out of
if I have a partner, like I need to like love them and feel loved. And if I'm lying, there's a block where I can't even get that like existential love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think the like worst I ever did was like once I was like, it was an acting program and I had a girlfriend and like there were two other women over and we were all flirting. It was acting. We're all flirting.
Of course.
And
your method.
Yeah.
You picked that week a guy who gets his dick sucked by two girls.
Yeah.
what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Fail the class?
And it's me and it was three other women and it was just you know where sometimes it feels like something the smell must have changed in the air because you feel like sex is on the table. In that heat of that moment in a room with my girlfriend, I was like, instead of being like, hey, I'd love to discuss like that, I was like, please.
Yeah.
Please can we do this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was, I think to me, like that was the words, like me being like, please can
just
we do this?
Crushing her into
please
fucking,
can we do this right now? Yeah. And it was like, yeah, okay. But then, you know, after being like, you clearly were doing that as a kindness.
Sure.
And
it's
you
pretty
were,
kind.
Yeah.
that's a big kindness.
It's a big kindness.
Yeah. I'll do whatever you want for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
get a couple really big birthdays after this. Christmas, forget, don't buy me anything. I got you on this one.
But to me, again, like that wasn't, it was not a cheating thing. It was, I was asking,
it's
like,
a different
can,
thing.
Can we please do this together?
Of course.
Both of us
equally want this. I want to bond us. I mean, the fall crisp air, you know, it wakes me every day, Eldis. I don't know if you feel the same way, but that's not enough to get a nice pep in my step. I don't want to do too much caffeine. I crash out. I need something that's right in the middle, something that gets me feeling nice, clears that brain fog, makes me not feel groggy, but is functional. That's right. I'm speaking of none other than mud water, folks. We're talking functional mushrooms. I don't want, like I said, I don't want to have a cup of Joe. I do get jittery. I have a hard time sleeping. I have started using mud water, and it's been exactly what I've wanted. Every single ingredient they got, 100% USDA organic, non-GMO, all the good stuff. Every ingredient serves a purpose. Smooth, earthy flavors provide a delicious and natural source of energy. They got the OG blend. That's what I mess with, the cacao and chai. Just a little hint of caffeine, but it feels like a little hot chocolate. I'm a treat lord. What can I say? I like a little hot. I like starting my day a little chocolatey. If I'm really being a little bad boy, I throw a little Splenda in there too. But you just nice chocolatey. They got the lion's mane for focus, cordyceps for natural energy, both chaga and reishi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Reishi to support a healthy immune system. And listen, you want completely no caffeine? They got caffeine-free blends as well. It all, the best part is it provides sustained energy without the spikes and crashes of traditional coffee. Ready to make the switch to cleaner energy? Head to mudwater.com and grab your starter kit today. Right now, our listeners get an exclusive deal up to 43% off your entire order,
plus free shipping and a free rechargeable frother when you use code STAVI. That's right. Up to 43% off with code STAVI at mudwater.com. After your purchase, they'll ask you how you found them. Please show your support and let them know we sent you. You do, though. I think we just talked about this on an episode before we left, or I don't remember what it was, but you kind of are proving my thesis of, like, straight guy in a gay zone, best guy to be. Because you might have been one of, there's probably, you know, however many women in every class you're in. And every guy but you and one other guy are gay, probably? Yeah.
And a lot of them, it's so funny, the women that maybe they went for the other guy or we just competed to try to get this woman's affections, and they're all gay now.
Oh, and women are gay now?
No, no, the guys. Oh, the guys. The guys. I mean, and sometimes I want to go
so
to them.
So even the ones that were straight in high school?
Yes, a lot. A lot. Totally. And I want to go to them and be like, you couldn't have given me a fucking break
Come on, dude.
You were gay. You were competing that hard? You didn't even want the pussy?
Oh, dude.
That's nuts.
Nothing drives me crazier than when I hear stories of friends who are gay now and they're like, I didn't even know who I was. I was having sex with women in high school. And I was like, you were fucking getting pussy? I would have killed I've known Eldis my whole life. I would have shot Eldis in a non-lethal place to get pussy. It was all I wanted. And these guys are like, it was so hard for me
to fuck
women.
And they're thinking about you while they're fucking
them. Well, this tit is sort of like a weird shaped cock.
This could be Starvis's tit.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, dude.
No, in high school at least, in college I ended up having like a girlfriend right away. Sure. But in high school, those summer camps, and I don't know if it's different now. I imagine people come out
sooner
now.
Yeah,
now.
These camps
were where a lot of kids did come out. Mm-hmm. I've seen kids come out in an acting class, or they, you know, you'd hear or
save up that bullet when you're not doing well in acting, got to gain some points with the teacher.
Yeah,
come out, and come out at an opportune time.
It's true, and there were women who experienced their first love, and he was gay, and couldn't help but internalize it.
Sure,
in a way that you certainly didn't. Even if you didn't believe in that, that's how it worked.
Of course,
you just took it that way. And I remember like. One where it was like, she was devastated by it.
Yeah.
Something about it fucked her up.
Of course.
And then they both went to the summer camp and he was fucking his roommate. and they were the kind of twins. They were the kind of where they look identical too.
Yeah. And I love that style of gay guy.
So it's like he left me
for him. Are you
guys
brothers? No, you're sucking each other off.
So I could have done, it was like a little bit chaotic.
Sure.
I could have.
Still. You could have done better, but listen, you did great.
Sure.
I always think that. I'm like, yeah. Send a, like, either your kid is gay and he's having a great time at theater camp, or he's one of the straight ones and he gets to fuck the girls.
But there was one, I remember one guy.
Dance, even cheerleading. I'm talking, go gay or not even just theater. Like, let him do real gay shit.
But that's the fear that the question is, do people fear that their kid, I think they think, even if my kid's gay, I want him to repress it.
Of course.
And if I give him any kind of space where he thinks it's okay.
Yeah.
But I guess there are some people who do think like you catch it or you
they
just
do
like,
I mean,
but that's when you wonder, it's such an old trope of like all homophobic people are secretly gay. I do think there's got to be a chunk because their philosophy is like, if you go near it, then you'll do it. And I feel that way because
I think there's a chunk. I also think probably, I just do think most of them are just hateful.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
There's definitely the gay, there's clearly, I think why it's so apparent is because the loudest homophobes are the secretly gay ones. But the silent majority that just hate gays just by
the
default.
The loudest ones are the theater kids.
But exactly, they're theater
kids. They should have been.
Yeah. They can't. That's why some really conservative churches have some great parades.
Yeah.
That closeted gay guy's putting all his energy into some floats. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like they're giving pastors. Like
uh-huh.
you know, they're
the
giving
outfits, the capes,
outfits,
the hats,
all this
of course.
Shit.
I just remember I had a friend who was like a soccer guy in college, and I went out with him once, and we were with his soccer friends, and we were going out to this club, and one of the guys, they were all dressed up to go out, and we're at this guy's place, so he went to shower and he came out to get dressed, and we were pre-gaming, and he came out of the shower in his bedroom and we're all dressed and he's fully naked.
Awesome.
And he's standing with one foot like on a stool or something.
And
I was sitting there and I was like, I've been to 6 musical theater camps.
Yeah.
This is the most homoerotic thing I've ever been involved with. And I just think about all the ways where, like, with athletics, there's these spaces to be men and mm-hmm. touchy. And, you know, when I think of Greece or Italy, like,
totally.
There's just touching. And
it's wildly just kind of homoerotic. Yes.
And I think just those guys, they fear, they're all really close. If anyone is in that space that will go further, I'm sure some of them would, some of them wouldn't.
Yeah.
But even if the idea was out in the open, suddenly this thing is gay. Right, I'm there the gay representative.
Sure,
wanting
sure,
to be like,
sure.
Oh, this is gay.
You guys are being gay.
Go put on, your shorts are right at the dresser.
Yeah.
You're getting something from your dick being out. We're all.
No, I know. I mean, there were my football team in high school, they bullied a gay guy in a way where I was like, you guys kind of like tried to fuck him, like they pulled their dicks, or they would do weird shit. They'd be like, look how gay we are, we're showering naked together. I was like, you are showering naked together.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
I'm jerking him off.
I'm being gay. I think they're both straight. Like even to this day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe one, but one is definitely straight as hell. And I do. I was like, you guys can't. Like what happened is they in a bathroom shut the door, and it was with a gay kid, and they were like, "Let's see your dick," and it's like. That's gay, dude. You try to see a gay guy's dick.
Compare your gay dick to my straight dick. Yeah, I bet, like, I can get mine longer than your gay dick.
Yeah, it was fucking crazy. It's like, you shouldn't bully a gay guy, but it's like that is crazy.
I imagine there's a lot more bisexual men.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's that, as opposed to closet, it's just feelings, and there's simply no room in any capacity for them to exercise that feeling, whether they want a boyfriend or whether they just want to.
No, that's a good point. There's it's probably not that everyone's closeted. It's that, like, there's a lot of guys that, like, maybe would have just, like, jerked a guy off once, and that fear was like coursing through them. And then when they're in all these like gay locker rooms and shit, they have to act all macho to be like, I would never even think that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For me, those were brutal because it's like everyone's dick was so big.
I never had a space.
It was fucking crazy, dude. I was in Baltimore City Public Schools playing football, dude. These kids had some wild hammers on them. And I was like, I was very specific.
I never had to be naked in those locker rooms. Interesting, I don't know if that's better or worse. Would you be naked on film?
My dick just does not photograph well. You know what I mean? I need to get fluffed. I need to lose some weight. It's really truly about how little my dick is. Because I don't care. Obviously, I don't care about being. If my dick was bigger, dude, I think I would be naked all the time.
100%.
You know what I mean? But I just have a.
And by the way, that's giving a false impression to the public that everyone's got big dicks. It's like, no, only the big dick
ones. Only the big dick guys are the ones who are willing to show cock.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have friends who wouldn't be naked. And like, I know their dicks are big, like actors or whatever. And I was like, and then I don't remember what happened. It was like, we were swimming or something. He posted like a weird picture where he didn't realize. Like, this guys with huge dicks don't even know. Like, he wasn't even trying to show his dick, but he posted like some kind of picture on his Instagram, and I was like, bro, nice dick, bro. Like, his shit was like peaking, and he was like embarrassed. He wasn't trying to show his dick off. He's like a shy guy, and I was like, you're like a handsome guy with a big ass dick. Why won't you like flop your shit out more?
It's for the best.
But some people won't.
If you had a big dick, can you imagine how many naked pictures you'd be putting out? I mean, it'd be.
I do think I probably, if shit, I think I probably would have done like just OnlyFans or something like that if my dick was big.
Yeah.
I think I'd show my cock off. I would have at minimum done like a very artsy shoot where my dick is out.
Of course.
Without question.
Yeah.
Ah, if only my dick was bigger.
I got naked in that acting class once. Not in character.
Yeah.
But I always
just
go
practicing.
Like, whenever I see nudity on stage, I always something about me, I go like, wow, good for you.
Well, there's something about that kind of nudity that's almost asexual. Mm-hmm. Like those act, like the thing is those like acting zones and theater kids in general, it gets to a point that it's so over the top that it's not sexual anymore.
Sure.
Like even that weird foursome you had probably wasn't that erotic. You know what I mean?
It's
just like all those kids are so weirdly touchy feely. Like I remember I went to a sixth grade.
It was pretty erotic and amazing.
Yeah,
actually.
I mean, was it good?
No.
Was it good for real?
No, what it really was more of one ended up going like, no, that's all right.
Yeah.
And
still, that's when you start with three.
Yeah.
But that's why I started with four.
I was like, there's no way I'm.
We can lose a couple. We plan to lose at least one. This is fine. We're still on track.
It was more like, two twosomes back to back, so to speak.
Yes.
And it was like,
okay,
yeah,
not bad still.
Not listen.
But you know, okay, I take that back. It's not that it's not erotic. It's that it's so performative, it becomes asexual.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Where it's like, this isn't about fucking someone.
Yeah.
This is about being seen fucking.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, and even that nudity, it's like, sometimes it's, and people, there is some kind of like intimacy, but it's like, that's why it is impressive when intimacy is done actually, and it feels real in a movie or in something, because like, it's like, those people will do whatever to make a scene work.
Sure.
But it doesn't feel, sometimes it just does not feel real at all.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, I'm sure you just saw a bunch of your classmates nude in a way that's just not even that horny.
But there's times you'd be kissing, like in a scene, and I go, I'm cheating. like there's this idea, like, oh, there's a perfect one, like Rachel is the Superman. They're like, people were trying to spread a rumor that Rachel Brosnahan and the Superman guy were, and they showed one where like they were doing a scene and she kissed him, they yelled cut, and she did another kiss like right after, and people were like, she did a kiss after the cut, and it's like no, they're acting.
Yeah.
But then the other part, I'm like, so the difference between cheating and not cheating is, hey, I couldn't have cheated. We filmed the whole thing.
Yeah.
We filmed the whole thing.
Totally.
I mean,
surely no one ever fucks their co-stars. Well, the thing about the reason that's not cheating is because like that guy just seems like such a nice nerd.
Oh yeah, it's not cheating in the normal sense. My theory is all acting is sanctioned cheating, and I understand
someone's
why.
Someone's being in an open relationship.
Yes.
It's kind of being poly. Acting is being poly.
Of course. Except, who decides who I get to fuck? A casting director. Yeah. I go to the casting director, I need this part.
Come on, please. That is very interesting, yeah. What was your first, do you remember the first, even if you were a little ass kid, the first moment where you were like, I'm a fucking star?
Yeah, it was Princess and the Pea.
Love that.
I believe I was kindergarten, or first grade.
Wow, hell yeah.
I was a prince. And I had to tell the princess I love you at the end, or a hug or something. Mm-hmm. And then, very popular at the time, I turned to the audience and I went, and it got a pop. And it got a pop.
You had to let them know, I believe in cooties. Even though I'm doing my job as an actor. But yeah.
Got a big pop.
Oh, that must have felt electric.
And I should
have
known that's when I was a comedian. I think it took me later, 20s, to be like, oh, I'm a comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to say this is bullshit a little.
Yeah, yeah. What about the first, what about like, is there one where you really wanted a part and you didn't get it? Do you remember that first one where you're like, fuck? Or is there one, does one stick out to you?
Middle school and college middle school and high school were good to me.
Yeah,
and then you
go to
college and you go, I mean, I got
the
cast.
Big leagues.
Senior year of college, I was cast as Marine's dad in Rent.
Mm.
And I was like, I'm a senior in college. I'm about to go into the real world. And I got Marine's dad. My song is a voicemail I leave on a machine. I go, well, Joanne, we're off. We tried you at the office.
You're not even on stage. Like, yeah, just do it from backstage, Gianmarco.
And that was brutal.
Gotcha.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
So it was middle school and high school. Like it was, I look back and I go, I'm chasing that feeling I had.
It is like, as someone who loves both, I think of acting and art. I mean, even stand up sometimes, but acting in particular, I think of it as sports a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And because what you're describing is textbook small town. You're the fucking quarterback, and then you get to college. And sometimes it doesn't happen until college. Sometimes it happens like in the... Sometimes it might be even more brutal for the guys who are college stars and just can't. They're right underneath where they need to be actual Broadway guys or whatever. That might be the worst.
Sure.
Because it's like, at least you had time to rejigger and be like, I'm good, but I'm not whatever. Like, that is... I do like to think of it as that. Because sometimes it's competitive. It's like...
I think it was like, for me specifically, it was like singing. Like, I thought I could sing. And
musical
I hit a wall.
Musical theater guy too. Wasn't just regular acting.
Yeah, I went to college for musical theater. So I was really into musical theater. And I was obsessive about singing. And I thought, like, it was one of those things where I was like, I'm going to be able to sing as well as Pavarotti. I don't even like opera. And but like I was going to be the greatest.
Yes.
Deep down.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, with basketball, let's say I don't know a lot about, but if you're 5'6", at some point you're confronted with,
right, vocally,
oh, maybe my body.
Right.
And it's like voices inside. So you don't find out till later. You train. You go, I don't think whatever's in here can compete competitively.
Yeah.
And it's not until you see like the greatest in the country, you go, I can't even book a non-union tour.
Yeah. Well, that's what's even crazier about acting is like, it's nothing you can ever see. It's like almost...
you have a full career and be mediocre. I mean, editing can be great.
Yeah,
and
true.
There's all sorts of avenues for the mildly talented. Or you're really good at farce.
Sure.
And you can't do drama. I watched... It was the Gary Shandling documentary, and this is where he talked to Seinfeld. He was like, acting's nothing. And Gary, like, really wanted to be a great actor. And it was later in life.
Interesting.
And I think, like... He was
a good actor.
But he was fine. But he wanted to be Daniel Day-Lewis. And what you wanted to say to like this 50-year-old, it'd be like, you don't have it.
It would have happened.
You don't have it. And that's painful. And this is like a new pain. I confronted that pain when I was 21.
And I had
more life in front of me.
Right.
And that's the thing.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I love coming from it from no success ever. Because everything's a win.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Of course.
Just everything is... It's nice. I feel like I'll peak in my, you know, late 40s. Physically.
Mm-hmm.
Fat, bald, 5'7 guy.
Oh, for sure.
You're born to be 43, 48.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? Like, that's what I'm going to be fucking... And even, like, comedy has just been like, you know... I do think probably as a little kid... Because I definitely had, like, a moment where I think I felt that... Like, I didn't want to be a theater... I didn't want to admit I was a theater kid.
Sure.
Because I mean, obviously, look how my life has turned out.
Of course.
Right? Like, but I did...
At least you admit it.
Yeah.
There's some comedians who I feel like, not to overgeneralize, but like in the sphere of which you started,
mm-hmm.
that want to give off like an aura of cool at all times. And
yeah.
I go like, a clown is inherently...
Philosophically, I think that the whole point is you can't be cool.
Yeah.
You have to be. And even if you're cool or people like you, whatever, obviously, like, we have fans, whatever.
You're a cool clown.
But yes, exactly. You're a cool loser.
Yes.
You're a guy whose whole thing is like, I take losses and I make them interesting and fun. And like, I guess some guys can be cultural commentary. Like, they can see it from a cultural commentary point. But I think that's, I'm not interested in that. And even like, I mean, I love Carlin. I love, you know, like, there are, but
he got pretty towards the end. He didn't want to be. He was mad. He was more angry than anything.
Sure, but at least he has great stuff where he's commenting on things.
Yes,
but it's. I think that's really hard to do, and I also don't find it that interesting. And I do think anyone who's a personal comic, it's like it's really you're a type of performer, and you're a. But you know, I had a moment where I was like, I'm actually a fucking cool jock. Like, that was definitely...
Yeah.
I remember being in, like, seventh grade and being like, acting's gay, I'm fucking cool and straight, so I'm gonna play sport. Meanwhile, I'm 5'7", fat as shit, you know what I mean? And I'm playing soccer or whatever, and then football in high school for a little bit, but I just do remember having that
moment. When did you go, like, oh, I'm not going to the NFL? And by the way, in a way, you did.
Yeah. I did. That is very funny. I got more access to the NFL this way than I ever would have. I think I still thought I could play, like, I didn't think I was going to the NFL, but I was like, maybe I could play, like, low-level college.
Sure.
You know, and, like, but it was just, like, I don't know. I think what happened is I got too fat for football. Do you understand how hard that is to do? I got so fat. I started working at a telemarketing place that was next to a Wendy's between my sophomore and junior years. And when I came back, my coach was like, what the fuck? And I'm a lineman. I'm the fat guy in football. And I was too fat to do that. And then I just got bored. And
the ref was like, you can only have 10 if you're going to.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, how many kids are in that uniform? But anyway, whatever. We have to help some people. We didn't
Let's
get into
it.
Your weird family. You got to come back. We got to get more into it. But what do we, Eldis, what do you have for us here, little buddy?
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free.
With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, Scott, first-time caller, long-time listener. Really love the show. Love to see what you're doing. Just needed some advice, man. So I am 34 years old. I'm single. I was married young from, like, you know, real early before 20 to 25. And then I also had a girlfriend, a long-term girlfriend, for about 7 years. But I recently been single. And within the last couple years of being single, I've made several trips to Colombia.
Oh, no. Oh,
no. Now, what my question is, should I continue on this path?
No.
Being
no.
An American, you know the guy. Answer. It's kind of a, you know, seedy way to live your life.
Yes.
You know, going over to these, you know, less fortunate countries and dating there. Or should I try to date American women? I'm kind of having more trouble mentally getting along with girls from U.S. And I don't want to be, you know, dipping my toes in both, where I'm like, all right, I'm talking to some girls in the U.S. or all right, I'm talking to some girls in Colombia. I feel like the two types of lives are not congruent. I'm having issues. Some of them are, you know, overlapping, where I'm like, budgeting out, like, do I go on a date with a girl from the States here, or do I go on a trip back to Colombia?
Jesus
so,
Christ,
looking
dude.
For some advice. Thanks so much.
This is fucking nuts.
I'm not, so this is the thing guys do if they're single and they have the means to go travel?
Yeah, well, they're called passport bros.
Okay.
And they'll go, sometimes it'll just be dating, but a lot of times these are countries that have, like, a huge sex industry, mm-hmm. and they'll just, like, you know, Colombia, I think it can go either way. Guys, if you got a friend who's going to fucking Thailand every year, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
That's,
but are they just hiring a sex worker, or they're like, is it more?
It depends. This guy, because I know a friend from college that that has had no, he's loving Colombia. he's got no moral quandaries there. And it's, you know, it's like, now, you, I mean, look.
What's your no? Because in my mind, innocently, I'm going, oh, you meet someone there, well, and they like
my
you?
My no is, like, it's kind of like, why do companies open up factories in these places? Because you can underpay people. You don't have to treat them well. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's like,
sure.
It's like, why are you there? Are you there because you're just trying to use these women to get a sexual thrill? Because he's doing the math. He's like, I take a bitch to the Cheesecake Factory in Bethesda. I'm fucking out $200. There's an Uber. There's drinks. I get on a flight to Colombia.
Yeah.
I'm in Medellin for $90. I rent a fucking five-star hotel room for $200.
Uh-huh.
And the dinner's $40. I come out $60 on top. Like,
yeah.
My no is that you have reduced dating,
yes,
to a purely financial, and not just financial, but it's like you have power over these women, because let's face it, probably they're trying to come to America. You know what I mean? Or like, and maybe even if it's not that cynical, like, you still are, you have power over them because you just have more money. You just, like, you're in an what's incongruous is the relationship you have with these women in Colombia, not going back and forth between America and Colombia. And it's like, look, if you like Colombia, if you realize, look, my sexual dollar goes further here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, sometimes people move where there's a better cost of living, right? But yeah, if you're going to do that, find someone, treat her like a human being, and actually try and date.
Especially because he was married for 4, long-term relationship pretty soon after that. This is someone who wants a relationship, and if the way you're going to find that relationship is with this chaotic kind of sex-first money-saving
yeah.
way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're not going to get that long-term, using your term, purchase.
right.
That you're going to love.
Yeah, well, that is the problem, is that it feels just so transactional to me.
But, dude, I mean, not devil's advocate, just that, you know, someone here could date someone with less money than them and have that power. I mean, that exists as part of the thing.
100%. But all I'm saying is, like, decide what you want to do here. Because, like, if he is
like the thing is, he didn't go to Colombia because he's like, I've always wanted to see Colombia and fall in love with a girl. He was like, there's hot pussy for free over there. I'm going to check it out. He wasn't like, I wanted to go fucking hike them.
It's not because they like you more there. No. It's not about you. It's just you changed the environment.
Exactly.
And
well, they do like him more there.
Yeah, but they might like his wallet or just other things. But it's saying, like, if you had struggle here and it's easy there, move there. Move there.
Sure.
But the back and forth thing, certainly.
That's what I mean. Is like, I'm not even, like, look, you want to fucking move there or you want to just go to a different country and you fuck, like, I like we're
or go there and say you're Colombian, see if they like you for who you are.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Say I'm a poor local.
Ooh, I love that.
And then if they like you,
get
you
the
know.
Guy who did Drewski's white face, do brown face. Live your life as a fucking Colombian for 3 months. See how much pussy.
And
you then
maybe you'll miss those American gals real quick. Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's my what gives me the no is just like you're doing it because it's like you're just. You took that trip for that reason in particular. And the fact that he like goes back and forth, it's like, you know, I even know I have a friend who moved to Colombia because he liked Colombia. And it's like, I'm sure this wasn't a negative in his pros and cons list for moving to Colombia, but he lives there and he puts money in the community. You know what I mean? I just like, I'm just like, decide what you want to do. And look, I'm not, you know, if you marry someone from a different country, that's fine. But like, going to a place where you're like, I can sexually exploit the women here.
Yeah. Feels the way a little... that you're saying like there's Colombian women and women here. Yeah. It's like you've now divided women and
totally.
They're all women. Yeah. And until you look at them as one thing.
As a human being. You're like, yeah, exactly. As human beings you want to be in a relationship with. And, you know, and this is coming from someone who has no problems with somebody being like, I'll hire sex. I'm going on vacation. I'll hire a sex worker. I'll have a good time. I have no issue with that. I'm just, you're kind of kidding yourself. You're kind of in this no man's land where it's like, is it no strings fun? Is it actually dating? I don't think you're not doing either one of those.
And you might come under the illusion that it's dating, but it's actually, you're going, this sex worker's treated me a lot better than this bitch on the third date.
Right. So that's, I would say, if you're trying to actually date someone, either take it like, either like, actually, and you like Colombia as a place and you like these people, fine, go there if you want to make it a serious part of your life, or just like stick, or if you've been using it as a vice, which I assume you have been, as a little like crutch where you're like, I didn't get pussy here, fucking skyscanner.com immediately, like stop doing that, you know what I mean? But you have to pick one, you have to pick one side, brother. That's what I would tell you. And even if you were using it as like a fun little escape, probably stop. You can do. You get divorced. You need a little. How Stella got her. You need a little. Eat, pray, love. If you're a guy, is just like going somewhere with.
That's why you
cheap,
never made that
beautiful
book.
Hookers. It's like, like yeah.
Eat
stop.
Pussy, no love.
Eat pussy, no love. But even if you're doing that, it's probably time to stop. You've got. You can't. You're over your divorce, whatever. So, be honest with yourself about what's happening here, and you know, figure it out. Colombia, huh? Now, you said there's shows to do in foreign countries. Have you ever checked out Colombia?
No, I gotta.
I'll just get Magic Mike on the phone. My agent, super agent Magic Mike Criscolo.
I don't Mike. He's a great.
Good guy.
Hey, Savvy Baby. I have a bit of a question for you. So, my best friend since middle school, she's been dating her boyfriend for about a year now, and they recently found out that he may be the father to a one-year-old.
Uh-oh.
So, a bit more context, we're all 21. This lady, he hooked up with her 2 weeks before he got together with my best friend.
Convenient timing.
He's been telling her that it was a party, they were both drunk, he didn't use a condom, but he busted on her back. I don't think that exonerates him, but it makes him feel better.
Babe, please. I pulled out and painted her shit. The that's fucking awesome to use the term busted on her back in a paternity argument with your current girlfriend.
I don't know how this happened.
How could this have happened? I nutted on her cheeks.
But it makes him feel better. But the only reason this is coming up now is because there's been a guy claiming the baby as his own, but he recently found out that the baby mama doesn't actually know who the real father is, and she was keeping it a secret from him. So So he blew the fuck up out of that relationship. And so it's between three guys that Mama the baby Mia. Daddy could be. Because Trailer he fucked Park, three guys Mama wrong Mia. In the same week. And my best friend's boyfriend. I swear
busted on Meryl's back.
Pierce Brosnan's like, oh, I swear she swallowed it. We'd had so much ouzo.
Relationship. And so it's between three guys that the baby daddy could be, because she fucked three guys wrong in the same week, and my best friend's boyfriend being included. Now, this isn't some sort of moral dilemma question, like what's the right thing to do, because I don't give a fuck. This has nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. I only know the gory shit that my best friend tells me.
Yeah.
But our friend group is split because she's requesting that they all get paternity tests, and one of the guys the guy who was claiming the child as his own did get a paternity test, and it came back negative. So now they're down to a 50-50 shot.
Fuck. I'd like to use my lifeline, Regis. Dun, 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 dun. Fuck! You're really hoping it eliminates the... Fuck, I was between those two already. This doesn't help me.
I'd like to phone a friend. I busted on her back. I told her that right when I left. That's what I said.
Fuck.
Shot. But our friend group is split on what they should do. I'm on team fuck that, because they're barely making ends meet as is, and throw on a, you know, child support on top of that, they would man. Be fucked.
Respect to you. But
we have a bunch of other friends saying, no, the moral right thing to do is for that child to have a baby.
That's what they sound like when they say it, too.
Fuck that.
I love this woman. This is Machiavelli right here.
I'm just curious what you would do, what your thoughts are. In a little more funny context, the baby has blonde hair, blue eyes, and that is what my best friend's boyfriend has. Man. And the other guy has black hair, brown eyes, which I know the recessive gene bullshit. But I'm just curious what your guys' take is on it.
These motherfuckers
love you. And I'm also a Patreon subscriber, so do with that as you wish.
Thank you. This is a great call. And by the way, this is what I'm talking about. Our goal for the show is to eventually become the new generation Maury Povich.
Yeah.
I would kill to reveal this live. If you guys, it's probably too late.
You bust on my back the first time.
Yeah.
There was a second time. Yeah.
Oh, I would love to ask him that.
He busted thrice.
I would love to ask him after the lie detector, did you bust on her back? To see if he's even lying about that. This is incredible. I wish we could fucking take... I wish we could reveal this.
Bring him in.
I would love
to. Bring him in. We should start just planning this
Oh my God, dude. I want to do this so bad.
No, okay. Like, so I've never wanted anything more. You want to do it. You want to do it. But like, so you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're
I would get a soundstage.
No, sure. It wasn't the production cost I was concerned about.
Okay.
So then you're going to be there, and this new couple or this guy is going to find out if this child, mm-hmm. who's either way, the child has lost.
The child's toast, unfortunately, yes.
And your job is to make it light and fun. And you're witnessing a
someone's life
deep human moment.
Yeah.
You don't think there's a party that go, oh, this show, I don't know if this is how we should be handling it.
Look, man, it's powerful.
And then when you show the kid, you want to see how mommy met daddy? We have a tape of it.
Look, these are all consenting adults. I think it would be a powerful moment. I think it's more about exposing this humanity.
Today's theme is you're busted.
look, some of the power, my canvas is not the stage. I'm not in a wheelchair pretending to have cerebral palsy. I'm on a soundstage saying which white trash person is a father. That's, and then watching their faces as they have the realization. That's a beautiful moment. And I'm also tipping my cap to the greats, Maury Povich. Some of the best television that's ever been.
Yes.
That's ever been created. And, you know, I'll admit, I've never for even one second considered the moral implications until you brought them to me, John Marco. But ultimately, I feel like...
Is the kid there?
Kid's a baby. Who, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Kid's in the back.
Yeah, he's got
kids in the back. We show him because you got to... Compare. You put the baby picture, and you put the picture of the two dads, and you compare.
And the audience goes,
exactly. And then maybe one of them gets up, he's like, look, Maury, he's got his eyes. You know that? I mean, these are classic beats.
Yes.
You
should. Yes.
If you want a good time, go to YouTube and just check out some of You Are Not the Fathers.
He died recently, right?
No, he retired.
Oh, he retired. I definitely watched some clips when he retired.
And you know what breaks my heart? My brother's bachelor party.
He retired 2 weeks before it. I was going to get us tickets because it's in Connecticut. I was going to get us
tickets so cool.
to go see Maury that live. And it was he retired 2 weeks before my brother's bachelor party. We ended up going to a Nets game and to WWE SmackDown.
That's
still
fun.
Pretty fun.
Yeah.
Now, to the question here. I mean, you are so in the wrong. It's crazy. I respect you. This is a real. She's got like a very real politique look at this. This is Machiavelli. This is like, look, where we're at now. They don't have to look after this child. If they take this test, there's a 50-50 chance they have to look after this child.
Is the bustee asking for the test to be done?
I think so.
Okay, she's asking, you didn't wear a condom. I'm sorry. I mean, first, there's no way you're, if you are the father, if you are so confident you busted on her back.
Right.
You can't be the father. What do you have to worry about?
Well, I don't know that that's true, unfortunately.
A
little pre-cum could do the trick.
Oh, a little pre-cum, sure.
How quickly did you get the whole nut on her back? You know, how far up the vertebrae did you shoot? Was it close to, did you go cheeks? Did some of it drip down? I'm not a gynecologist. I can't tell you these things.
You know Dexter does the splatter scene out of the blood?
Absolutely.
So how are you standing? How big's your dick?
Yeah, we do. That'll be our little twist on our Moriel. We do the jizz reconstruction, the jizz.
And
splatter.
Then you bring out the thing, and then you turn on the black light, and that's the big light.
Yeah.
Oh my! The back. You hit the back. You hit the knee. You hit the ear. This is chaos, sir.
Yeah, your fucking shot wasn't as strong as you thought it was. It was more of a dribble.
You got to get the.
Come on. What are you talking about here? I love that she. I'm charmed by our caller. I think you're a great storyteller. You kept us wrapped. I love that you, as a performer, sort of a weaker panel would be swayed by sort of your hints at who's the good guy and who's the bad guy.
The recessive gene, but fuck that.
Yeah.
That's why the first bust was so, because it didn't, it came like, oh wow, you speak like this too.
Yeah.
It was real nice.
But let's be honest, the guy.
your friend, by the way, can break, like, they've been dating a year.
This isn't your friend's problem.
Yeah.
Also,
this is his
like,
problem.
There is a such thing as moral. What's morally right?
She doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, she does. But why don't. This is interesting because you started saying you don't give a fuck, but you clearly actually do. You really give a fuck about your friend's economic situation, and basically her boyfriend having to pay child support would really ruin that.
And you mentioned the hair and the blue eyes because
you know in your heart.
I'm a little confused, like, what the. Because she said one of the guys is like kind of has assumed assuming the kid is his.
There was three guys. The first guy,
yep.
He would be the guy that when it wasn't him in Maury, he would start crying.
Right.
That's who he is. He thought it was his kid the whole time. He probably didn't know she fucked two other guys that week. He's probably like thrilled to be a dad. Of course, God doesn't exist and he's a piece of shit. So it's not his kid, right? That's the easiest thing. It could have been his kid. No harm, no foul. Everybody goes on with their life. That's no.
Like, if God exists, he's got to answer a lot of the stuff. Yeah, he's like, I'm a trickster.
Yeah. So it's not his kid. He's out, right?
Right.
He already took the test. He's out.
People will say, like, God is a dramatist. God is a mechanic. God is a Maury fan.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. God knows what we need to make good TV, and that's these kinds of fucking.
So we got these other two guys.
And two guys, and she wants to. There's two guys left, and basically she wants them to take tests. Look, dude, your friend probably had a kid. It sucks.
Friend's boyfriend. So,
And that's the other thing. I'm not clear on why you're so invested.
You don't
here.
Want your friend to be with a guy who's not willing to do this test,
right? What I mean,
because what happens when your friend gets?
You assume that because they're together, he would be with her. You don't know that. This guy, like, and also, it's like you really don't fucking matter here. Your girlfriend only kind of or does. But you're like, really, it's about this woman. Really, it's about this kid, right? So you want this kid to not have a dad so your friend
people think morality matters in a case-by-case basis, but it's more if someone lacks morality, it will come to bite you in the ass later.
Sure.
If you surround yourself with not immoral people, this might be convenient, mm-hmm. but someday that lack of character will hurt your friend.
That's a great way to look at it. That's absolutely true. It's like, yeah, even if you get away with this, that's just how this guy behaves. That's also how your friend wants him to behave. That's how you, maybe you guys, maybe the three of you are pieces of shit. This is the other thing that I'm coming up with. As much as I like you, and you are very fun the way you told this.
You're just worried about your friend, and I get it, and it's clouding your judgment in
but
this moment.
It's wrong. It's wrong. Yeah. He should take the test. Like, you know, there's definitely been times in my life where I've been staring straight into the ceiling and being like, why did I do that? What if I get a call in 4 weeks? You know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I've dodged those bullets, but I've been like, if it happened to me, my life's changed forever, but sure. I have a kid now. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, and, you know, luckily I don't behave that way anymore. I certainly have more to lose these days. I was busting all willy-nilly where there really wasn't much to come after me for. But now it's like, you know, you just got to, you have to take responsibility. As Maury would say, put a cap on it.
I don't know how you dealt with that anxiety. There was, I'm a condom guy.
Mm-hmm.
And only once, like this woman, she was fucking me, she took the condom off and then went back on.
Oh, yeah. That's tough to argue against.
Yeah.
In the moment.
I go like, if I had 7 more days to think it over, yeah. I think I would have made a different decision.
Also, to go from condom to no condom, it's just like, wow, you hit the NOS button on this shit. We're cruising
now.
I could
have called some friends and be like, is this a good idea?
Yeah.
But it was like, I had 1 second and I said,
you have 1 second.
I didn't tell
the most genetically awesome feeling you can have. Millions of years of evolution are like, this is what you're born
you
to
think
do.
You're gonna beat that yeah. in a Marriott hotel room at 2 a.m? Are you out of your mind? And yes. the anxiety I felt. I was watching her. She lived in Europe, and I would watch her Instagram stories. Like, I was waiting, honestly, and then when she was at a party drinking, I was like, okay, I think safe, or yeah. I'm an even worse
or,
than
yeah,
I
yeah,
thought.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I've made some really, really horrible decisions in my life, and they've kept me up, and so far, I haven't paid for them, but we'll see. But, you know, that could all change at any moment.
That's how it should end in a just world.
Oh,
you
true.
Test them and they say, we ran one more test.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
your chance.
Yeah, that is how I would pay for it.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's fine. Sacrifice me on the altar of you are not the father content. Those are the higher ideals I care about. That's what I'm willing to give my life for. We've had some great questions. What else we got, Eldis?
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, Stavi and esteemed guest. So my buddy has a bachelor party that we're planning, and we're going to go to Tampa because he says he wants to gamble and go to full nude strip clubs.
Okay.
But he's inviting this guy, like we can call him Mark, and I met Mark in high school. He transferred in my sophomore year because he had been public schooled his whole life, and he knows all the friends in the friend group because they grew up in the same neighborhood together. And, like, in high school, I never liked him. He just gave off that super annoying, like, homeschool, conservative Christian energy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done, like, a lot of dumb shit. Like, in high school, he worked with my brother's now wife, girlfriend at the time, and was texting her saying we should fuck. Mm. We ended up having to live together in college because we needed a fourth roommate. And he would accuse us of just, like, fucking with his stuff, drugging him. Like, he would scare all the girls that we were hanging out with.
Oh, no.
And then I remember after college, him and I got in a fight over social media because I reposted something about a school shooting. And he tried to claim that the shooter was a liberal and that it was all lies by the liberal
this
media.
Guy sounds awesome.
Like, just absolute piece of shit. And then last year, our other friend had a bachelor party at his parents' beach house, and he was there. First thing that he did when he walked in is shows everyone the gun that he brought.
Gun?
And then one night...
He brought a gun to a fucking bachelor party? Oh, man.
The gun that he brought. And then one night, we were playing a poker game, And we all decide that we're done playing. So he goes, oh, yeah, well, what you guys don't know is I've been hiding chips this whole time, and lifts up a fucking napkin to show a bunch of chips that he claimed he won. And we're all just like, dude, like, shut the fuck up. Everyone keep your money since he's doing this. Well, he went into a full spaz when we said we're not going to pay him. And he, like, went outside and started throwing shit around.
Hiding chips? This guy's why does he keep getting invites?
Went into a full spaz when we said we're not going to pay him. And he, like, went outside and started throwing shit around. And then he, like, came back inside. We're all sitting on the couch. And he just sits there and scares us like he wants to fight us.
And he's got a gun.
So after that, everyone in the friend group was in agreement. Like, he's not going to be invited. My friend is now saying that he learned in church that he should forgive him and is going to invite him. And I'm like, dude, you have any idea how dumb it is to say, I learned that God would want me to forgive him so we can go gamble and go to full new script clips together. So basically, I'm stuck and I don't know if I want to spend all this money to go on this trip if this guy is just going to be there and going to ruin it.
Mm-hmm.
So any advice on what I should do? Thank you.
Wow. I mean, this is nuts. How does this guy keep getting invites to stuff? This is classic.
He likes him, though. There's no, listen, you don't go to church and go, oh, I should forgive all people. He likes this guy. Yeah. Your friend likes this guy for some reason.
I mean, that is what it comes down to, is that, like, if you're like, if you and other friends have been like, we hate this guy.
Yeah.
He's not coming to anything else. And this guy's like, it's my bachelor party and I want him there. And you're right. The God shit is so stupid.
Yeah, just don't buy. I just think it's like we should. He's saying, like, God said we should forgive, so you guys should be cool.
Right. And look, dude, unfortunately, we get this call a lot, but it's like there are times in your life where people drop off, right? There's mm-hmm. Like this guy, I have friends like this from college where it was just like, but when you're 19 and you're just getting fucked up, or even when you're like 20 and you have your first off-campus house and it's like, oh yeah, there's a guy, he brought a gun to my... When you're a kid, you're like, it wasn't annoying when he brought a gun to my house?
Yeah.
Like as a kid, you're like, that was stupid, and you go back playing GameCube. If somebody brought a gun to my house now, I'd be like, leave or I'm calling the police. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Who I didn't like anyway. I mean, if it was a cool guy with a cool gun, maybe it's different. But like, it's taken longer for your friend group to fracture. And maybe they're younger. Maybe they're generally, it sounds like, from a conservative place. Maybe you're getting married younger. He never said how old he was. He sounded kind of young. To us godless East Coast liberals, bachelor parties happen when you're 37. But for you, they're probably happening when you're 24, right?
That's so true.
So it's like, this just might be your friend group splintering, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because you have to decide. I mean, and I'll be honest with you, this guy fucking sucks. I wouldn't want to go to a bachelor party where this guy is there.
No way.
And so I would be like, all right, man, hey, you want this guy? I'd still probably go to the wedding because the wedding's different.
For sure.
But I'd be like, I'm not spending. Especially
it's about the spending. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of sacrifice. I think if you love this friend and he goes, this is my boy, you have to confront if you really love this friend too.
Yeah,
bachelor parties are important. I had like a friend where I went to the bachelor party. It was like a little early in the friendship. And the fact that I went, I think solidified.
Right, right.
Becoming really good
friends.
Right,
right, right. That can happen.
But if you're spending money, I think part of being adult is making clear what you don't want to do. And maybe your friend needs to learn that too. Maybe he likes this guy, but he brings a lot of pain to people. It's like, you got to hang out with this guy separately.
Yeah. True. You know? I mean, there's definitely times in my life where if Eldest got married at certain ages, I would have been like, you're bringing this fucking guy, Eldis. You know what I mean? And I think probably at that age, what I would have done was just make it everyone's problem that I was annoyed. Like, I would have been part of the problem too, you know?
If he likes that guy, it's probably a reflection off the person he is too.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's like, this guy is coming, is probably an idiot. Your friend is a fucking piece of shit also, probably.
He's like, we're going to pick up the poker game right where we left off.
He was like, the guy, he had a smart strategy of hiding chips.
We're
going
to give everyone a napkin.
To level the playing field, everyone gets a napkin.
I a million percent, time, life is short. I'm not going on this party.
And you hate him.
You hate him.
I've never, this is, you could just tell from his story, You yeah. hate this guy. You don't want to go
especially
to this
especially in today's political climate. If he had that problem with that shooting thing back then, that's all oh, the goddamn God. Conversation is going to be about
Can
right
you
now.
Imagine this you guy. Want to talk about Jimmy this guy's Kimmel doing fucking push-ups and looking at a fucking picture of Charlie Kirk right now. He's in his garage doing assisted dips, being like, they have no idea what they've unleashed. You can't fucking. This is crazy, dude.
Yeah.
This
unless is like, you can enjoy the chaos. Of yeah. being around this person, but I agree if they have a gun that makes the chaos yeah. less enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, in this, I didn't even think about the political climate.
Oh my God.
A guy like this now might be number one worst guy to be around. I don't think he can do it, man. I don't know. But look, at the end of the day, it's your decision. But again, the spending, if I'm spending like a grand to be, to like, and it's like time off, a time long off. Weekend, like. I mean, how close are you? How close is this guy? How close is your friend? Like, but
don't let this is my problem with the religion stuff is ask your friend why do you want this guy to come? This God says to forgive. I go
it's
okay.
Like, okay, I forgave him. I don't like him as a guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like I'm not mad at him. I just
God
don't
didn't
want to
say
see him anymore.
Forgive and invite him to the bachelor party. That's totally. Not part of the tenet.
No.
Forgiveness is yeah, not the yeah, same yeah, as yeah, like yeah. welcoming in.
Well, yeah, he's not back in. That's a great point. Forgiveness means like. A lot of times, forgiveness is for yourself more than anything.
Forgiveness is he still gets to go to the fucking wedding.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That guy's going to skip the wedding. He's like, nah, I'm good. Just want to go to the strip club, which it does sound pretty. I mean, this sounds like a pretty good.
He's
going
to wear a
party.
Charlie Kirk t-shirt to the wedding.
Yeah. Damn, dude. Gambling in his full nude strip club. We got to get that going. We never went to a strip club on tour.
We did not.
Where were we thinking about it? Portland?
Probably that's where Portland. We went. We went to a vegan strip club in Portland on my podcast tour.
If we had another night in Portland, I think we probably would have gone. Oh, wait.
Probably Portland. I think it did get batted around in a couple cities.
I think I had some other stuff going on, actually, now that I think about it, in Portland. But we only had one. Yeah, we got to hit it up next. I mean.
It's stressful. My girlfriend, she goes, go to strip clubs. And I'm like, I swear you don't know what's. Going on in here.
I
swear there's no way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sitting here. I'm like, if you were here, we'd yeah. have a long conversation after.
Totally. What's the who we were you touring with? What was the crew?
Russell. Okay, cool. Russell. And then my producer, who we've known each other a long time, but she's a woman, and we're sitting at this strip club, and the woman like flips over and it's like pussy right in my face. And like I'm like I know Tova does not know what this
yeah,
is what it is
yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm doing like one of these
yeah
and my producer my employee is yeah. here and I'm like I don't know the rules
yeah
I am HR right now
totally.
Too
that's the beauty of the downsides of hiring your stupid friends is that they go on vacation while you're also in Europe but the upsides are no one's suing you for. Yes. For HR. This is a very old school type of organization here at Stavi Baby Enterprises.
The Lizzo, that was the thing.
I made Eldis eat a banana out of a guy's ass. I made JP eat a banana out of Eldis' ass.
It wasn't
ass.
Even at a club. It was like on stage.
Oh, fuck. All right, you got something fun for us to go out on here, Big Eld? And by the way, did we even say at any point that you have a special out? We talked about it before.
I have a special out on YouTube, Thief of Joy. It's on my YouTube for free.
We should have said that. Go see. I think maybe we did. We'll put something in the beginning. Go see. Yeah, watch it. Pause this now. Go watch this. In fact, go back in time when this episode started.
Yeah.
Watch the special then. Tell your friends about it. Go watch Gianmarco's special, Thief of Joy. We'll link it and everything on his YouTube right now.
Thanks, brother.
Here's a little silly one.
Hey, Stav and Eldis. Big fan of the show. Hello, guests. I have a quick etiquette question. Tonight, I was out walking my dog, and I ran into this woman who had another dog. And our dogs were kind of getting to know each other. And I noticed that her nipple was hanging out of her tank top. Now, I acknowledged that after we talked for like a minute or two. Said, hey, just so you know, you might want to fix your top. And she kind of looked out and fixed it. And anyway, it was kind of weird. I'm wondering if I did the right thing by acknowledging it, if I should have just said nothing. I
this
thought
is very
before
funny.
I said anything to her, and I kind of let it hang for a second
right.
because I felt awkward bringing yeah. it up. But anyway, would love to hear your thoughts, and take care.
This is very funny.
This is a really good etiquette question.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
there's one scenario you don't say anything, and she gets home later and goes, That fucking creep.
That creep.
Just let my nipple.
And in her and in her head, she's like imagining all the times you were looking at her tit. You know, even if you weren't that much, it's going to seem like you were.
I think you have to. I think you did the right thing. There's no good scenario. I did this acting camp once, and there was a teacher showing his headstands, and he had a tear in his yoga pants right where like his asshole was.
Awesome.
And all of us saw it, and we're all sitting there, and we didn't say anything. We come to class the next day. He goes, "I was very disappointed in you guys yesterday. The class immediately right after you notified me that there was a tear in my pants and not a single one of you mentioned it." And it taught me a lesson that do the uncomfortable thing.
Yeah.
You're in a bad scenario.
Yes. Unfortunately, yes. The true answer here is the quicker you notice, the time between noticing and telling, you want it as short as possible.
So but what if it's right away? Okay, so I'm walking a dog. You're the guy. I'm the girl.
Hey,
oh, what kind of dog is that?
Oh, it's a. You might want to fix your top. Hey, sorry, not to be rude or anything, but you might want to fix your top. Like, that's ideal.
Yes.
Because you're not making it weird at all. It's a pure. But now, no one's like that. You'd have to be a machine to see a titty. First of all, you're like nice. There's a part of you that's just like sick, right? You have to get rid
of
that.
The time
shake
to
that
memorize
off. You know what I mean? You have to be like, no, not nice, not nice. We're in a weird. Because usually, when you're seeing a tit, it's always cool.
Of course.
So your brain is like,
a random.
We're
looking
at a woman's tit is out. I'm probably gonna. I'm either at a strip club. I'm gonna fuck this lady. Something cool is about to happen.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You're in a random time where it's because, or you see a titty you don't want to see and it's not cool. It's an old lady.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're at a fucking public pool and an old lady's tits slip out. Whatever.
You're going to need her to help her put it back in.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to like, you're helping care for your grandmother, you know? Like,
Yeah.
There's a very rarely do you see a cool titty in a way that you're not allowed to look at it, right? It's basically this scenario and I guess breastfeeding. Those are the two that are like, you have to be like, no, it's not cool.
But there is a point where if you've waited too long, you need to act like you just saw it.
Yes.
Because if there's even a momentary thought that you've grappled with the question for a minute.
You can't at the end of it be like, oh, and by the way.
Yeah.
You might want to check your, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You don't want to do that. Right?
Yes. I would be talking. If I notice it, I'm grappling. Oh my God.
This is where the acting classes come in. Exactly. You got to look shocked.
I'm like, I need a wheelchair. Yeah. And then I go,
you know, you gotta really sell it.
I would do it.
Yes, I think the absolute best case scenario is like completely nonchalantly, as if you're like your fly's down. You'd be like, oh, your tits out. Not tit out, but like, oh, fix your top. I think you handled it really good.
Yeah, I think.
But
yeah,
like,
don't do it. Is it nips out day?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
I had no idea.
Didn't get the memo, fucking bitch. Don't do that. You did a pretty good job. The reality is you want to do it as quick as possible, but it's hard.
I fear that you said it in a way where you're like, also, just so you know, in a way that made it clear that you've been sitting with it for a bit.
And look, you could be like, this is a little awkward, but you might want to fix your top. Because it is a little awkward. It's not your fault her tit is out. You were just trying to be a fucking good... This guy sounds pretty innocent here. He's just kind of making small talk with another... Dog. I'm not a dog guy, but dog people love talking about their dogs to each other.
Of course, because they can't talk to their dog about it.
Yeah.
They need to share it.
Right.
They have so many private stories that they experienced alone.
Totally,
they need
totally.
To get it off their chest.
So, dude, you did the right thing. But in general, I think with things like this, the quicker you're about it and the more, and again, you can acknowledge it's a little weird. It's fine because it is a little weird, but it's not your fault. It's your fault if you make it fucking weird. If you're like... nice. Oh, and by the way, sweetheart, that titty's been peeking at me this whole conversation.
I'm trying to think if my dick was out, and like if someone told me 3 minutes into the conversation, like how I'd feel, I'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah, if one of your nuts is coming out of your shorts.
Yeah.
You are eligible. You're one of the few men who's eligible to show cock by accident. You do like a nice short.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. We have to check the picture sometimes. I'm like, oh my God. They asked that for tonight. He was like, just make sure you're wearing underwear that doesn't. I was like, don't worry.
Hilarious.
Don't worry. That'd be insane.
That would be so funny to show cock on the Tonight Show.
I think guys that wear short shorts, that's how you know, like, they're probably, it's average at best.
They're okay to show cock.
No, I think
the
opposite. They're feeling safe.
Interesting.
They're feeling fine. They're not concerned.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it is funny to think about a guy who's had to worry about.
Look
his
at both
dick
of us. We're both wearing these shorts.
Yeah,
you ever see someone on the show wearing pants? You know they're packing.
Yeah, hard. With the exception of Eldis, who is wearing pants, but his dick is little.
I'm with that.
I'd like to say Eldis' dick is little, for the record.
By the way, your dick's been out this whole time.
Oh, I know.
He's been slow stroking and shit this whole time. But yeah, you did the right thing, man.
You did the right thing. It's awkward. If she likes you, it'll be a funny moment.
Yeah.
And if she thinks you're ugly, she's just gonna think you're a creep.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually no true. The reality is, are you ugly? Because if you are, you handled it wrong. If you're hot, you handled it great.
You should have never said anything. Walked the other way. Because if you're ugly, she thinks that you somehow did it.
So how's it going? HR meme.
Yeah. The HR meme. Absolutely. All right. Well, good luck, little buddy. Gianmarco, thanks for doing the show, brother.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Yep. Guys, go watch the special. I'm sure you're touring, whatever. Go see him live. See us live.
Yeah, Podcast The Downside.
If podcast you're The to a Downside. Podcast. Absolutely. Yeah. And thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Peace.